I've been asked to mention just a bit about what I do at the Moody Bible Institute and what is going on in the satellite ministry of the school. First of all, I have been with Moody Bible Institute for 22 and a half years, with a couple of years out with the Billy Graham Association when I managed the radio station for the association in Honolulu. We came back to Chicago, and you know that that probably was the call of God, to go from Honolulu to Chicago, in 1968, and have ministered at the Institute since that time. I came back as director of broadcasting, and in 1974 became vice president and administrator of development. Robert Constable had my position for 17 and a half years, and that's probably a familiar name to you. At the Institute, my responsibilities are for all of the outreach ministries, such as Moody Press, Moody Monthly, broadcasting, stewardship, public relations, and extension. In other words, I have all of the ministries associated with the school, except for education and the business matters that we have. One of the areas we are particularly developing these days, and many of you probably are aware of it, is the Moody Broadcasting Network. It all started, of course, with WMBI in July of 1926 when we went on the air here in Chicago. We've been broadcasting here continually ever since, and we have now 11 stations which we own and operate in various parts of the country. There were many other places, however, where people wanted Moody Radio and wanted Christian Radio, and they came to us and asked us if we couldn't establish a station in their area. Well, it was impossible to establish hundreds of stations, but these people kept after us, and we decided that the best way to reach the entire North American continent with simultaneous broadcasting was to establish the Moody Broadcasting Network by means of satellite. So today, as every other day, we send a 24-hour-a-day stereo signal to Frankfort, Illinois, from 820 North LaSalle downtown. Then it goes from Frankfort, Illinois, to the uplink station, and goes to Satcom 3R. And what we call the footprint of Satcom 3R, that is the space of the Earth that it covers with the signal, is the entire North American continent, including Canada, Alaska, northern Mexico, the Caribbean. So as we broadcast in Chicago, we broadcast to all of the millions living in those areas. Actually, when the signal comes down to Earth, from the time we have originated it in Chicago is less than 1 second of time. Now, you have to have some means of listening. You can't just pick up a signal from the satellite. And so we are establishing contact with radio stations and cable systems and the establishment of translators all around the country. The only matter that is being held up with the FCC is the matter of translators. These are small FM stations, and we have about 700 groups of people around the nation who would like to establish these. And we're hoping that in January the log jam will break loose at the Federal Communications Commission and we'll have the opportunity of reaching out in this way. We're thankful for the prayers of God's people everywhere. Presently we have 61 affiliate stations that are tied in to the network. Some of them broadcast great portions of our satellite outreach. Some of them broadcast a few programs each day. Pastor Cole's ministry, Don Cole's ministry, reaches out now to about 315 stations, either by tape or by the satellite outreach, and we're grateful for that Christ-honoring and Bible-teaching ministry. I might say also We miss Dr. Bob Goddard very much at Moody Bible Institute. He was one of the favorite instructors at the Institute, and we miss him very much, but we know he's far better off than we are. Praise the Lord for that. M. LePaul, on one occasion, came to Talleyrand of France and expressed his great disappointment at not being able to easily establish a new religion, which LePaul felt was an improvement on Christianity. And he explained to Talleyrand that despite all of his efforts of attempting to propagate this new religion, that his supporters and the people helping him made very little headway. And he had come to Talleyrand asking for advice on how this new religion could be established and spread far and wide. And he asked his advice. Talleyrand replied that it was indeed difficult to found a new religion. More difficult indeed than one could imagine. So difficult that he hardly knew what advice to give. Sitting back in his chair, thinking, he said, "Still, there is a plan which you might at least try. I should recommend you be crucified and rise again on the third day." Thankfully, our Lord Jesus Christ did just that. He was crucified and he rose again on the third day. And so it wasn't difficult to establish a new religion on the basis of that glorious and marvelous fact. I want to speak from 2 Chronicles chapter 26 on the subject, winning through weakness. The people of our generation worship at the shrine of strength. However, through the example of the person described in chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles, King Uzziah, we learn three basic principles for living the successful Christian life. The first principle is this: strength can be wrong if it leads to self-sufficiency and independence from God and from others. Principle number two is weakness can be a virtue when it drives us to seek God for his help. And three, success comes in direct proportion to our seeking and living by the will of God. Now, when you read the 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, you see those literally leap out at you. Those principles come forth very clearly. The Lord desires to give his people a crown. Crowns are earned by discipline, work, and faithfulness. Before a man or woman can wear a crown, he must first be a servant. First a servant, then a ruler. But we don't like that order. We don't like it that way. You see, first a servant, then a ruler. The person who does not humbly learn to obey orders cannot be trusted to give orders. Remember, it is servant to ruler, it is few things to many things, it is toil to joy. And that's the biblical order. King Uzziah was a teacher who went right, an adult who went wrong. He was a weakling, a loser who won, and a winner who later lost. Uzziah began with small promise and turned in a great and strong performance. He took great power and turned it into a small performance. There is great potential in weakness. Look at verse 3 of chapter 26. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. And he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Now he went out and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jebna and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the area of Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gurbaal and the Maonites. The Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah, and his fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the corner buttress and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness and hewed many cisterns, for he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plain. He also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and the fertile fields, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions according to the number of their muster, prepared. And so on, I'm going to come down to about verse 13. Under their direction was an elite army of 307,500 who would wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and sling stones. And in Jerusalem he made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. You see, Uzziah was 16 years of age when he came to the throne. I ask you, what does a boy of 16 do for his nation? At that time, his father was betrayed and murdered. Under these circumstances, Uzziah had come to the throne. The nation was suffering military defeat and economic hardship and instability. What could have been more of a challenge than to come to the throne at a time like that? Uzziah, it's clear from those initial verses 4 and 5, that he began by doing right. That is, he followed the good example of his father, Amaziah. He sought God, it's clear. Now, there is an implication that he did not always do so, but it says when he sought the Lord, he received the blessing of him. It also states that consequent blessing. And it's clear in verses 5 and 15 that God prospered him, gave him victory in battle, blessed him as a builder, blessed him as a manager, inspired him as an innovator, as in verse 15. He was marvelously helped, it says, until he was strong. Some never learn the secret of strength in the Christian life. It's a paradox, you see. I become strong by becoming more dependent on Him. From birth, we attempt to teach babies and little children to be independent. It's a big day when that first button is buttoned. It's a bigger day, I suppose, when the child takes the first steps alone. Oh, it's a heroic wonder to see the child progressing. We're teaching that child to become independent as we learn that it is good and desirable to do things without the help of others, and we are applauded as children for that. We must learn in the spiritual realm that without the Lord we can do nothing. And unfortunately, it's a paradox, it's a problem that some never overcome, some never learn. What are the implications of weakness? Well, we certainly worship at the shrine of strength. Everybody admires strength, whether it's physical, financial, strong talent and ability. Whatever it is, we worship that. We must remember that weakness can be a virtue when it drives us to seek God's help, not only in the everyday situations of life, but in the big things of life. It's no shame to have weaknesses, all of them, all of us have them. Some of us don't think we have them, but we have them. To hold on to weaknesses and be ruled by them rather than giving them over to God is a shame. And you read about people in the Bible like that. When called to do the Lord's bidding, they found excuse. We dread weakness because it makes us dependent. And how we hate that business of dependency. We're vulnerable. And that's not bad in itself. It is actually realistic because all of us are vulnerable. How weak we are when compared with the Lord. Weakness does not excuse us from involvement in the service of God, however. We may think we can use it as an excuse, but we can't. In fact, weakness is a prerequisite of true service. It is not an alternative to obedience, but it can be a stepping stone to great usefulness for God. Well, the grave peril of strength is in the other section of the chapter. Look at verse 16. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. For he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest entered after him and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged, and while he was enraged with the priests, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, before the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead, and they hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. There is shown the grave peril of strength. Uzziah became a man content with his own strength and ability. With strength came pride and independence toward God. With strength came impetuous action from within. With strength came insensitivity, arrogance, and anger toward others. He thought he was somebody that he wasn't. And the outcome of that strength? Oh, In just a few verses, you see everything from the previous verses shattered, stomped on, destroyed. You see, there was alienation from God and from others, from the temple. There was abrogation, disruption, dislocation of his leadership. He was ostracized from approval, from favor. His failure followed him even to death, the death of a leper. I'm not going into the politics of this, but do you remember the day Richard Nixon resigned? And the day he was departing from the White House, the day he walked up those helicopter stairs for the last day, weakly turned around, and with a sickly smile waved at the few people, and the power was stripped from him, and probably was what the greatest power he enjoyed on the face of the earth. Before that, he became, in that moment of time, a simple private citizen. Uzziah was riding high, thinking he was somebody, impressed with his own strength. Uzziah learned by bitter experience how fickle success can be as a friend. Often it eludes the strong who pursue it and embraces the weak who surrender to it. Strength can be a vice when it prompts us to live independently from God. He prospered and flourished when he asked God to do for him what he could not do for himself. He failed when he tried to do what God had reserved for himself alone. Strength, like weakness, must be given to God or it becomes a vice. Now, we worship at the shrine of strength, but too often it can prove to be a false god. What am I saying? I'm saying in his weakness, he was helped by God. He was accepted by God's servants. He did what was right. His fame spread afar. But in his strength, he was smitten by God. He was angered and opposed by God's servants. He acted corruptly, and he was cut off and separated until the day he died. Are we Christians learning that his strength is made perfect in our weakness? Uzziah provides some important lessons, I think. Strength can be a vice when it leads to self-sufficiency. I can get along without God or without other people. We may not say it, but even some Christians live like it. And there is that tendency in all of us. Weakness can be a virtue when it drives us to God and seek his help, that of others. In that influence, there is great potential for any of us. Success in the service of God comes in direct proportion to our seeking God, that is, our dependence on him. It rests ultimately in God, not in our weakness, and less still in our strength. On one occasion, Samuel Brengle was introduced as the great Dr. Brengle. In his diary, he wrote this: "If I appear great in their eyes, the Lord is most graciously helping me to see how absolutely nothing I am without him, and helping me to keep little in my own eyes. He does use me, but I am so concerned that he uses me and that it is not of me the work is done. The axe cannot boast of the trees it has cut down. It could do nothing but for the woodsman. He made it. He sharpened it. and he used it. The moment he throws it aside, it becomes old iron. Oh, that I may never lose sight of this. The spiritual Christian is in all probability one who yesterday expressed his humility by working gladly and faithfully in a lesser place. Out of his wisdom, Robert Morrison of China wrote, "The great fault, I think, in our missions is no one likes to be second." Well, I've got more, but we're coming up to noon. Let me close by saying, weakness makes success possible. How does weakness succeed where strength fails? Well, it leads us to depend on the Lord, whose resources and abilities totally transcend our own. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is enough for you, for where there is weakness, my power is shown the more completely," in the Phillips. In the New English, "My grace is all you need. Power comes to its full strength in weakness." It leads us to depend on others whose abilities complement and multiply our own. Interdependence is that good Christian word. So that I am dependent on you and you on me, and together we serve the Lord. It leads us to depend on wisdom and planning, not on energy and impulse. The weak must make wise decisions. The strong very often make quick ones. The weak must rely on organization. The strong may rely on brute effort and strength. The weak must rely on planning. The strong very often rely on impulse. What do we learn from King Uzziah? When he was weak, oh, how much he accomplished. When he was strong, he failed miserably before the Lord and before his people. I ran across this little poem. "I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for help that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed." Shall we pray? Our Father, as we read in your word of a person like Uzziah, we say, O Lord, may I not be like that. Oh, what a strong beginning he had. But anybody can have a good start. Few end well. Help us to be the people totally dependent on you and in fellowship with you and seeking your will for life, that we might truly please you and serve you every day. Father, there will be opportunities this week to show forth our Lord Jesus Christ. in our weakness, make your strength known and reveal him whom to know is life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen.